Not done. So I invite you to keep reading through those Psalms. It's always the easiest book to find if you don't know that. You just open the Bible halfway and you're pretty much always there. Fall upon a good one. So today we're doing Psalm 27. And I invite you to listen for the Word of God for you and for us today. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds that as your Word is read, we might hear your Word for us. We might receive it, and we might see anew this morning. Amen. The Lord Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in the Lord's temple. For the Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. The Lord will conceal me under the cover of his tent. The Lord will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in the Lord's tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I found myself thinking about fears. If you look at the psalm, there are several words that are repeated twice. The word fear, the word hide, and the word wait. The word wait at the end also means hope. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in a different psalm. It is not waiting, sitting on a bench for your number to be called and for God to finally do something. It is actively being involved. It is expectantly waiting and hoping and laboring alongside God for God to respond. It is not passive, but rather active. But at the beginning of the psalm that ends with such hope are connotations of fear. There is a strong confidence. What should I be afraid of? There is nothing that I will fear because God is with me. I'm mindful of all of the times that our children were afraid and came up to our bedroom. We had a long time where one of our children actually slept on the floor in our room for about 18 months. We just put out a sleeping bag. And I would greet her every night. She'd just say, I'm here, Dad. I got to just check in. And then she'd lay down and go to sleep. It was something that helped with the fear. I don't know about you, but I had the same thing when I was little. We all probably thought there were monsters in the closet or monsters under the bed. We lived by the river in Sacramento, and so we had roof rats all the time. And they loved to live in the attic above my bed. I pictured a monster that was eating children sleeping above my bed. Every night. And even if I knew that didn't exist, I did know the rats were up there and I could hear them. And it was horrible. Now I know that if I heard that today, I'd know that it was rats. I probably would move to the couch and then do something the next day. Those fears maybe we had when we were younger, we have outgrown them, but we don't outgrow fear, do we? In fact, the fears maybe become deeper and wider, more mammoth and multiple. Elodie this week had a lot of asthma attacks and with the heat and pollution, and I found myself with new fear where she was coughing all night long, and I found myself lingering, waiting for the next cough. I find that in our house where we have two adolescent kids now, there are new fears that I didn't used to have. Fears that even if our children won't talk to me and won't look me in the eye, so take courage, if they don't do that with you, they don't do it with me. When I see flashes, I still have hope, as the psalmist does, hope that they will not be like that forever. So pray for me. But our fears change, don't they? I can't imagine the fear of being in Houston, the fear of flooding, what that would be like. I do know the fear of earthquakes, as you probably do. One of the last ones, I happened to be standing right underneath that light right there, and my first thought was, I'm going to die with the light hitting me. People will find me Sunday morning. But we have other fears. Fears of rejection, fears of failure that can haunt us, fears of relationships not being what we hoped or what we need or what we wanted or what we dreamed. There's even bigger fears now where we hear within our own country of things that maybe we thought no longer existed. Rejection of people for their skin or their class or their culture, for their language or their place of birth. Fear that has become the dominant thing in our society, I think. Fear that other people will take our work. Fear that other people will take our homes. Fear that there is not enough to go around. Fear that those people on the sidewalk will block our roads so we can't drive by. Fear. It's fabulous that our national leaders help alleviate our fear, isn't it? They play it up. Fear is an easy sale. It's easy to make people more afraid. Way too easy. So I find all of that, and I know I'm not alone in thinking all of that. When I read these words, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Now, I don't know about you, but I can be very confident at times, and other times be completely terrified. In Bible study, as I said earlier, we brought up the fact that we can really trust God with certain things and then fail to do so in others. I've said repeatedly many things. In fact, I guess this week I realized how many stories I tell about myself. I talked about my driving and someone said, oh yeah, I know all about your driving from your sermons. But I also often tell you in the sermons that I have a lot of hope and trust that God will provide. But when it comes to my own life, I struggle to see that. And yet now I can look back right now and be calm and courageous and strong. I know that God has provided, that God saved me from those roof rats, that God will deliver me from the travails of having adolescent children, that God has delivered me when I did not have work, when there was not enough money to pay certain bills, that God has delivered me when I have been afraid to the point of paralysis, when I have been imprisoned in the darkness of despair and depression, that God is there. The psalmist says, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Now, I believe we all do that. I believe you do that. And yet it is hard to keep on doing. I find right now I've almost given up waiting for the Lord for certain things. And yet then I'm reminded by beauty that God is there. I think that's what the psalmist is talking about. It starts with fear and ends with hope, if you look at it again. And the first half is all confidence. I have nothing to be afraid of. God is for me and you. There is nothing to fear. And yet a few verses later, there is fear. But there is trust. There is something in the midst of all that I think that is the key, or at least for me was the key in understanding the psalm for me this week, was the talk of the beauty of the Lord. The psalmist only wants one thing, to live in God's sure and safe presence in the Lord's house, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And there is something about seeing that beauty that changes everything. I know that about my children when they are tough as adolescents, or even with other people who might be really tough where I think, oh my gosh, good riddance, it's all over. And then I glimpse the beauty of knowing them or being known. The beauty of an unexpected word or a kind gesture. The beauty of a gift. The beauty of a smile. We've all seen beautiful things in nature that open our minds, that make us aware of the grandeur of life and of our own smallness, of how vast things are and how tiny we are, and yet we still are important. Undoubtedly, you've had those experiences of true beauty, not just a good hair day, not just a pretty sunset, but beauty that has changed you. You know what I mean? Beauty that has brought tears to your eyes, beauty that has moved you in your gut. Beauty that has made you woke to what really is, to what is really becoming. I think that's what happens in this psalm, is that the psalmist is looking for that beauty. Beauty that opens eyes, beauty that maybe brings tears, but through those open eyes and tears, there is a clearer vision. Shortly after the mention of the beauty of the Lord in the psalm, the psalmist says, now, after seeing that beauty, after having my eyes open, now my head is lifted up. I don't know about you, but when I am not very confident, or when I am unsure, or when I'm overwhelmed at a party where there's a lot of people and I don't know them, I am very aware that my head quickly is down, looking at my feet, making sure my shoes are tied, or maybe I'm trying to find the quickest way out of there, but I am looking down. It is what we do psychologically when we are lacking confidence. We look down. Glimpsing that beauty, being reminded of God's faithfulness, the psalmist says, now my head is lifted up. I can see the future. I can see what God has for me. I can see above my enemies. I can see. And so I will wait. I will be strong and courageous. And I will wait for the Lord. The challenge is, it's not always easy to find that hope. It's not always easy to grab that beauty or to see it. I find oftentimes when I'm looking down in a lack of confidence, something beautiful could be right in front of me, but I'm never going to see it because I'm looking at my feet, metaphorically and literally. And so we need each other. to be reminded of the beauty of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, as the psalmist calls it, that's right there. I find a lot of times people say, well, I don't need to go to church. I believe in God. It's all good. I know just what to do. I just have a good cup of coffee and be mindful. And I'm not against that. I'm all for mindfulness and a good cup of coffee. And yet we do need each other, don't we? We need each other to see that beauty because we cannot always see it. We need each other to call out the beauty. We need each other to help us lift our chins to look beyond our ankles for what God is doing. To look beyond our fear, to look beyond the little bit that we can see to the vastness of who God is. Now, when people ask me that question, I don't usually give them that long of a response. But it is true that we cannot carry ourselves when we're stumbling. We need someone else. That's part of what waiting is. We were talking in Bible study about home, and we sang about home, and this psalm has this image of home, a stronghold, the Lord's tent, the Lord's house, that God will bring us home, that is the hope. We're mindful this week that there are lots of people who have lost their homes. You've heard the news about people, about a pastor in Houston who has a church and is being railed upon for not opening the church to people or for opening them depending on what's going on or who knows what. We mentioned that we haven't heard too many stories of what people are doing, what churches are doing, that those little stories that point out the beauty are not making it into the news. There is the beauty. Maybe you heard the story of the guy who owns all the furniture stores, who's opened up 6 or 7 stores, and people are living on all the brand new furniture, filled to the max. And they are places of community. They want to give him a key to the city, name a day of the year after him. And he doesn't want any credit. It's that beauty. Things like that. A beauty that is all around us, I think, but oftentimes we do not see. A beauty that is overwhelmed, or at least our vision is overwhelmed, by the ugliness, the desperation, by the fear that's all around us. The psalm is all about hope and confidence that we can count on God, but I think we also need to count on each other. We need to count on each other to help point out that beauty when we can't see it. Now, that's different than saying, as I've told you before, a friend of mine whose daughter was born deaf and people kept saying, God is going to do something great through her deafness. You should be happy. I'm not sure that's pointing out the beauty of the Lord. That's maybe a simple answer. True, but easy to say. But looking for the beauty with someone, looking for the beauty together, the beauty that is all around us, that God is birthing and calling us to. We have a tradition in our Protestant tradition where we actually don't have too much art. We have a little bit up here, words from the 23rd Psalm, lingering pictures from Vacation Bible School. In France, you would never put up any picture on the wall because that is distracting from the beauty of God. Our tradition has evacuated beauty from our belief. And yet I think that the psalmist is saying that beauty is important. Beauty lifts your eyes up beyond your feet to see the people next to you, to see the future that God is unfolding and inviting us to. To see all of creation that God has said is good. So I want to challenge you in this time where there's a lot of complaining. There is a lot of fear, and probably rightly so. There is a lot of mistrust. I want to challenge you in the next week to point out the beauty to someone. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be at Trader Joe's in line and when there's 15 people in front of you, and they all have 11 items for the 10 items or less line. that you point out, look at the beautiful sunrise outside or something like that. It doesn't mean that you have to be really a Bible thumper and a Bible pusher. But it does mean to look for the beauty, to reflect the beauty that God gives us, that God is, and that is becoming, in order for someone else maybe to look up from their feet, for their head to be lifted, for them to look ahead. So that's your challenge. I'm going to give you 2 weeks, but I'll check in on you. As God says to Joshua, the psalmist says to us, be strong, be courageous, wait for the Lord. Amen. This morning we are responding to God's word and song, and also with the gift of communion as we come to the table to be fed, to be nourished, to find strength in order to be strong and courageous. So let us stand together to remember the one who makes the beauty of this meal possible.